mocking his victims, the mammoth Great Kali casts a chilling and ominous shadow. He is the Punjabi Nightmare. A leviathan creature driven by malice, the Great Kali yearns to crush all who stand in his path. The Great Kali is the very definition of monster.
Folks, welcome back to Who Booked This? It's our October spooktacular month. I'm Stephen Graham.
Yeah, I'm J.R. Goldberg. Sorry, I just started talking. I don't know why.
A lot of people do that on podcasts. I've noticed.
Just talk over each other constantly.
Yeah, even like professional radio. Like the guests will be just start talking at some point. Like they've had enough waiting time.
Are you implying that I'm the guest? Is that what's happening? That I'm just the weekly guest of this podcast?
Yeah, I'm the host and you're my guest that I've and just booked every week. Just like Conan had a guest every week, the same guy.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair. Andy Richter. Andy Richter.
Yeah, yeah, Andy Richter was his constant guest. Oh boy. So that was fun. But you know what's more fun? The fucking Monster Mash.
They did the mash.
They did the Monster Mash. But they didn't... Did they play that song or was it a weird ripoff?
So, it was a weird ripoff, very obviously. Yeah, so the show opens with a weird ripoff of the Monster Mash. But, like, they clearly couldn't get the rights to the actual Monster Mash. Nor could they find any, like, public domain music that sounded like the Monster Mash. So they just found a guy to do the voiceover who sounded like the Monster Mash guy. And then they put it over, like, surf guitar music. It is not spooky in the least.
I would like to say that originally it had Monster Mash and they couldn't use it for the network.
Maybe.
I don't remember.
Let's go with that.
That sounds better. So, basically what's happening here, this is, an episode of ECW television, that's happening a couple days before Halloween.
One day, October 30th.
October 30th. Sorry. All Hallows Eve.
Yes. All Hallows Eve.
Yeah. They decided to do a Monster Mash Battle Royal, which is basically you take four monsters and put them in a Battle Royal.
Yep. A four-person over-the-top rope battle royal.
But with monsters.
But with monsters.
Because, like Big Daddy V... Okay, who's in it? We got Big Daddy V. He's, like, four people. You got Kane. He's at least two.
Yeah, he's six. Two or three. Yeah.
Mark Henry's at least three.
Yes.
That's nine. And who else have we got? The Great Kali. Like, 10?
Yeah.
So it's essentially a 20-man battle royal.
Sure. Yeah, let's go. So. Or, as they promote this, you know, Joey Styles says, 1,600 pounds, that's almost one ton. And then Taz follows that up by saying, that's a lot of pumpkins.
That is a lot of pumpkins.
And he is right. That is a lot of pumpkins.
Wait, are each of these guys over 400 pounds? I don't think Kane is.
No, Kane is very clearly not over. But so during the match, they say, let's see if we can do some basic algebra here. So during the match, they say that Big Daddy V is 485 pounds.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, what Mark Henry is, you know, comfortably billed at 400 pounds most of the time, right?
Yeah.
So, they're not, I mean, like, let's just, I mean, Great Kali is not 400 pounds.
Yeah.
Right? And nor is King.
Not even close.
So, I think we're closer to 1,200 pounds than we are 1,600. But that's all right.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. But before we get into this lovely thing, how much of this show did you watch?
I watched all of this show. Okay.
I watched all of this show, but I fast forwarded once some matches started because.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
Okay.
That's generally how I do this.
Okay.
You know, unless there's a match that I actually want to watch. There was not on this
show. There was not.
Yeah, strange, strange thing. Yeah.
When you watched the intro to this show.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen this stuff maybe ever or maybe in years. I can't remember. But
okay.
Watching the intro to the show, what is the top stars on ECW? Or who are the top stars on ECW?
The top stars in ECW are the new breed people, right? So it's like
not according to this video. This video, every like six times, it's Kelly Kelly and her dance group.
I mean, Kelly Kelly is featured very heavily on ECW during this time period.
But like, it's a minute video, and she's on it like every 15 seconds.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
There are like, I mean, this is a little later in the WWE ECW run.
Yeah.
But like, there are multiple hour-long episodes of this show that are entirely booked around Kelly Kelly.
Wasn't she dressed like CM Punk for a while?
Yeah, she did that a couple of times. Like, I mean, there's also the idea, right, that like her name is Kelly Kelly because she couldn't remember her last name or something.
Or wasn't she so sweet they named her twice?
Maybe.
I don't know. But they probably did because they're horrible people. It was probably because she was dumb. And they are saying she's dumb.
Can we also comment, and I don't want to be mean to Kelly Kelly, but like, if you want to give a girl a dumb gimmick and her actual shoot name is Barbie Blank. Like, you can probably just go with it, right? Like,
yeah. I was listening to one of the Bruce Prichard podcasts before I got sick of Conrad and can't listen to them anymore due to his misogyny and bullshit. Sure. But there was an episode where they were talking about ECW, and they mentioned that they hired Kelly Kelly to do this character, but they didn't realize she couldn't dance at all. So apparently what they did was Vince McMahon, Bruce Prichard, and someone else had to teach her how to dance. Could you imagine Vince McMahon teaching someone how to dance?
I mean, we've all seen the clip of Vince dancing, you know?
Amazing.
And like, I mean, I can't imagine like, Vince teaching somebody to dance, like that's what. So that's up there with Vince and Hogan writing the screenplay for No Holds Barred and 24 Hours in a Hotel Room.
Yeah.
Terms I feel of like
this, though, with the character she is and how young she was, I'm sure it was probably not kosher.
She was like 19, right?
Yeah. I'm sure whatever they did wasn't kosher. So
I'm sure it was awful.
Yeah. We'll move on from that topic because it's probably pretty gross. But maybe Vince can get on the Supreme Court. So we'll see. anyways, throughout the show, they do little promos with each of the monsters.
Yeah.
Which one was your favorite?
I mean, obviously it's the Mark Henry one because he's the only one they really let talk. Oh, Kane had a pretty long promo.
And Mark Henry's like one of the only ones that's like a good promo.
Yeah, Mark Henry's – well, Kane's an okay promo, I guess. In his own weird way.
In his own weird way, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, at least, like, I wouldn't say that Kane is, like, a great promo, but I would say that, like, Kane has a good grasp of his character, and, his promos are believable as that character, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And remember, a few weeks back, we did King of the Ring. We did it over two parts. King of the Ring 1995. Yeah. And I was trying to tell you that Mabel was good. This is the version of Mabel I was talking about.
Oh, yeah. Big Daddy V, like, this run was awesome. Pretty good for him. Yeah.
He was basically Abdul the Butcher.
Yeah.
It was great.
I wrote down One of my notes here is that, you know, when Big Daddy V comes out, you just base drawing records on this podcast. Viscera / Big Daddy V / Mabel is second only to Hulk Hogan in terms of who is the biggest draw of all time.
Wait, what? I missed something there. What?
Like, if you only go based on the who creates the most downloads of this very
podcast. Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. That's true.
The second biggest draw of all time.
Yeah, probably gonna pass Hogan, so.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
For sure.
That'll be fun.
We still have some good Hogan stuff to do, though.
Oh my god.
You know?
Oh my god, yes.
Hogan is really the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh, you know what there's a lot of stuff. We're not even getting to, you know what?
We haven't even done the White Castle of Fear stuff yet.
Oh. You know what we're missing for Spooktacular Month and we just can't fit it in?
What's that?
Is Hogan Warrior at Halloween Havoc.
Yeah.
We'll have to save that for the future.
Sure.
That's some fun stuff. boy, okay. So, do you have any comments about the rest of the ECW show? Because, like, the one thing that was really confusing to me was no one was dressed in a costume except for Little Guido. And Little Guido was leading a group of kids trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
But all the wrestlers had candy, but they just didn't give a shit about Little Guido. I didn't understand this at all.
Yeah, it was very bizarre. Also, the most horrifying aspect of this Halloween show may be the fact that there were just a bunch of unsupervised children backstage at ECW.
Yeah, Balls Mahoney was back there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I have a couple comments about that very segment. Okay. So they get candy from Balls Mahoney first, and Nunzio makes a joke about how, you know, that's what happens if you eat too much candy, you know, talking about Balls not having any teeth.
Okay.
And then the second person they go to is CM Punk, who is not dressed up as anything.
Nope.
And, it's the most perfect thing because I'm sure that they wanted Punk to like dress up as something and he just refused. Right.
He had a match coming up.
He had a match coming up. Sure.
Versus a jobber, the world champion.
Right. But world champion versus jobber.
Yeah.
But which is great. They should do that more often. But I mean, like. It's just so perfectly in character that CM Punk is like, absolutely not. I am not dressing up for Halloween.
I don't think they cared because, like, you would think of all people, Michael Cole and Taz would be dressed up.
You mean Joey Styles?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I just think Michael Cole does every WWE show. feels like so.
He does. You're right.
But yeah, Joey Styles and Taz have no costume. Oh, there is a horrible costume.
There's the Tommy Dreamer, Paul Heyman one.
Okay, this is what bothered me about this. The costume was fine. Whatever. Yeah. It makes sense. Taz and Joey Styles pretending they don't know who Tommy Dreamer is dressed like.
Yeah, they don't get the reference.
After working for Heyman for years is the worst comedy of all time.
Oh, it's terrible. And it goes on, like, the match is, like, 7 or 8 minutes, and it goes on the entire time.
Yeah. Like, literally, who thought this was a good joke?
Vince McMahon, right? Or Stephanie McMahon.
Okay. Yes, true.
More likely. Yeah. Someone with the last name McMahon thought this was hilarious.
Yeah. But I don't know how, because it's like, the most obvious costume ever, and it's someone you know so well.
Yeah.
And, yeah. It's like if Stephanie McMahon was in, like, remember when Shane was an announcer? And someone came dressed up like Vince, and he's like, I don't know who that is. No, you do.
Yeah.
Look at the chin. So. Oh, I'm getting mean on this episode.
I
gotta calm down. All right. We got the Monster Mash Battle Royal, which is fun.
But before that, I have one other comment about this show.
Okay.
So, just out of pure serendipitous timing, I guess. This show took place on October 30th, 2007. And I would say that a good 15 to 20% of this 45-minute show is spent recapping Raw.
Oh my God, it is. So much.
And on that Raw, Triple H is booked in a handicap match against Umaga and Randy Orton.
Yep. What happens? And then
Shawn Michaels, of all people, comes out and helps him. They literally talk on this episode breathlessly in anticipation of a one night only DX reunion on November 6, 2007. How funny that we are 11 years later.
One night only.
The story is the same. That's so weird.
Isn't it?
It's so weird.
Oh my God. And it's, oh yeah, it's almost like the same thing. Like, it's monsters he's facing too.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Right.
I do not remember a Triple H Umaga feud at all.
Nor do I. Although, like, I love the idea that, like, Umaga was so good around this time and had such awesome matches against John Cena. Yeah. The Triple H is like, I need to feud with Umaga.
Was this during the horrible, horrible DH run where, like, Shawn Michaels would pretend he couldn't do stuff so he'd walk away while Triple H made dick jokes? Or was that,
I think that's around that time frame.
Okay. That was the fucking worst shit ever.
It was. So Shawn Michaels during this time period is like legitimately responsible for some of the worst television of all time. That storyline where he was like JBL's slave.
Yeah, because he lost all his money.
Yeah, because he lost all his money. Like, he gave it to Jesus or something. I don't know.
He was tithing.
He was tithing. Exactly. He was so righteous. But like that stuff, like those are some terrible matches. It's terrible television. No one cared when he turned back face.
Yeah.
Like, oh man. Oh God.
They should have went all in and had him like become corporate Shawn Michaels with JBL as a heel. That would have been a fun little tag team.
If it had led to him cutting his hair 10 years earlier, it would have been great.
Yeah. I don't like Shawn Michaels too much, but I think him teaming with JBL would be fine.
JBL was very bad at that time, though.
Was this like, after JBL was good?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I always like JBL, except for I like his wrestling. We'll leave it at that. Okay. Monster Mash Battle Royal. We laid down the rules. We laid down the competitors. But I guess before we talk about the match, we should say something about pro wrestling only, our gracious hosts. You can now go actually to pro wrestling only and go to the podcast section and click on who booked this, and you'll find all of our podcasts. Really easy to find there.
Yeah, it's true. They're right in a row too. You can click down, you can see which ones are the most popular ones.
Oh yeah.
They list the listens next to them. So
oh, okay.
If you don't know where to start, if this is the first one you're listening to, first of all, thank you. Second of all, I hope you enjoy it. Third of all, if you want to see what other people like the most, then you can just see right now on prowrestlingonly.com.
Yeah, perfect.
Also, by the time this comes out, if all goes well, my first article for prowrestlingonly.com should be up on our front page as a special feature. You can read my words as well. And when you're reading them, you can hear them in my lovely and not annoying at all voice. So.
What accent do you have?
I guess this would be Ohio.
Okay. That's a pretty, like, generic. It's like the Canadian accent that's, like, very normal, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's why I think so many Canadians, like, made it in the States in, like, entertainment, because there's like, okay, here's a voice like absent of accents and we can use right. it. Cause it's not like,
but there's like, there's a thing that goes on in Ohio where everyone in Ohio is convinced they're the only place on the face of the doesn't have an accent.
Oh yeah.
Despite the fact that there's like a very clear regionalism, you know, like,
well, like anyway. In theory, no, everyone has an accent except for your area, wherever your sure. area is.
Right.
Because, like, people in New York, they don't have an accent. Everyone else does, you know? Like, that's the way it is. I don't.
Right.
Yeah, it's a very, it's like we're the center of the universe, but you're not. There is no center of the universe, actually.
No, it's just right where you were. Anyone is standing at any given point.
Fun science. All right. What do we got? Monster Mash. So
Monster Mash.
I like that even though no one dressed up in costumes, they dressed up the yeah. entranceway.
They did dress up the entranceway. Yeah. Which, all right. How about this? Which costumes do you think these four competitors would have picked?
Oh, if they had to be costumes.
If they were costume.
Okay. Well.
All right.
Mark Henry, I guess, would have been a silverback gorilla.
Or and Mark Henry, 100%.
Or a salmon. One of those two.
One of the two. Yeah.
Let's see. Let's go on to,
I don't have preset jokes for this, by the way.
No, me neither.
I just thought of this and put you on the spot. Okay. Yeah.
I was thinking on my toes there. Let's go to Kane. Yeah. I don't know if this is a period where he likes his brother or not, but dressing as his brother is always a winner.
Yeah. He could have dressed as his brother. He could have dressed as Paul Bearer too. That would have been,
yeah,
you know, yeah.
He had to have dressed like a dentist.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah.
Clearly, that's the winner.
Clearly, he dresses as a dentist. Yeah.
Okay. Let's do Big Daddy V next.
Yeah.
What costume would fit him?
I'm going with astronaut. He could be an astronaut.
Oh.
I don't know why. I'm just going with astronaut.
Astronaut's good.
I guess in my head, man on a mission sounds like an astronaut. I don't. It doesn't make any sense, but I'm going with astronaut.
Hmm. If I could dress up Big Daddy V in any costume, what would I put him in? Oh, this sounds wrong.
Sexy sriracha bottle.
Yeah. You got me there. Gritty wasn't around back then.
Gritty was not around back then.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
I think a postman.
A postman?
Yes.
All right. I'll buy it. That's fine.
He's delivering mail.
Yeah.
Now Great Khali. We know
him. Well, so Ranjan Singh comes out, so they can do a couple's costume.
They could. That's true. I was thinking, you know, he used to be a cop, so he could do that, but no, a couple's sure. costume is great.
I mean, they did on Raw one time. I don't even remember if this was just a random episode of Raw or if this was a Halloween episode of Raw, but on Raw one time, they did the young Frankenstein putting on the Ritz.
Okay.
Routine. So they could do the Gene Wilder putting on the Ritz, you know, Mel Brooks, young Frankenstein.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Yeah. Just like Frankenstein and Frankenstein's monster. That's good.
Yeah.
They could be Big Bird and Snuffleupagus.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Or Ernie and Bert.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wish I had like a good Bollywood reference, but I don't.
Yeah, I haven't watched much Bollywood at all.
No.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
So this match though, it's actually,
this match.
What do you think of this match?
I mean, it's perfectly fine, right? First of all, it's short.
It's too short. I was sad by the shortness.
Yeah. It's probably the shortest match that we've ever watched.
Yeah. It doesn't clock more than 8 minutes.
Can we also talk about how there's four people in this match? This happened 10, 11 years ago, almost exactly 11 years ago at this point. And two of the people in this match are retired. One has sadly passed away. And one is a mayor of an American city.
One's in the Hall of Fame.
One's in the Hall of Fame. If you went back in time and said to 2007 Stephen Graham, like if you laid out that statistic, who do you think you would bet on being the mayor?
The mayor
of a town
between Kane, Henry, Khali, and Big Daddy V.
Yes.
Boy. I'd probably say Mark Henry.
Yeah.
He's the most well-spoken.
He is the most well-spoken.
And fuck, yeah. Who would debate him?
I mean, that's a great point.
He's scary into voting for him.
Do you think that Mark Henry would institute, like, an air bill policy in the town that he becomes mayor of?
I don't know, but it'd be the world's strongest town.
The world's strongest town. Can we run Mark Henry's mayoral campaign?
We can.
Mark, if you are listening to this, I have no experience running a mayoral campaign. Steven is not even a citizen of this country.
We have mayors in Canada.
Do you? Yeah. Are they called Canadian mayors?
Yeah. There's actually an election coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of Ontario.
Well, I mean, the mayor of Toronto, there's, you know, always makes the news, right?
Yeah. And we're about to have a new one or the same one. We'll see. You never know.
But yeah, if Mark Henry, if you're listening, I will gladly pro bono help you run your mayoral campaign for Silsbee, Texas.
Yep.
I guess it's probably where it would be.
Yeah.
Right.
And wear the salmon jacket is my biggest advice.
Yeah, totally. You have to.
Yeah. That's stylish.
For sure.
This is okay. So it starts off and we got a fucking showdown between Big Daddy V and Mark Henry, and wrestling is the greatest thing in the planet.
Oh man, the show. So to set the stage for the showdown, they actually have like a pretty good little like opening segment. So Kane enters last, and I guess the three of them make like an alliance, yeah, you know, to just attack Kane immediately, which makes sense from a kayfabe because Kane is the most dangerous Rumble participant, right?
That's
He's eliminated
true.
11 people, right? Because
Roman Reigns hadn't existed yet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And even though Roman Reigns has that record, I will always associate it with him.
Yeah.
I don't know why. So they all conspire to get Kane out.
That's good
but
psychology.
Kane, like, sort of, yeah, good psychology. Right?
Yeah.
He easily eludes them. And, like, I mean, sort of hysterically easily. He just sort of, like, ducks under their slowly advancing bodies. But then Mark Henry clearly blames Big Daddy V for this and like gives him like a little like chest jump, like, hey, stop messing around, you know? And then they try it again and it doesn't work again. And that's when Mark Henry, who rules, just like slaps him, and then they start going at it and having a showdown.
Yeah. And I don't know if the crowd erupted, but I did.
Oh yeah, I popped. So Mark Henry tries to do a shoulder tackle, yeah, and Big Davey no-sells it and just starts slamming his chest like Tarzan.
It was awesome. And yeah, then they did the opposite where Big Daddy V tried to run Henry, and then they did a double clothesline. But
yep,
that was fucking awesome. And then
it was so good.
And then it fucking gets more awesome because then Mark Henry just picks up Great Khali.
Yeah, picked him up like an angle slam, like he's a baby.
Yes, it was amazing.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think we often take for granted just how strong Mark Henry is.
I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about Mark Henry, and they were saying, like, someone who's looked into his stuff, like, they're like legitimate records. Like, there was an actual case that he was one of the strongest people on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's fucking great. But yeah, he shows it here. Fucking Khali just picks him up like a baby.
Just picks him up. Like, I would recommend everyone watch this match just to see Mark Henry pick up Great Khali on his shoulders, like full body on, not like a Samoan drop, like literally puts Khali's butt on his shoulder and just lifts him completely off the ground. And like, I mean, with ease, like there's no strain in any way, shape or form. He just picks him up.
Yeah, it was very simple. We've talked about some botches on some matches before, right? This Big Daddy V trying to sidewalk slam Kane is the shittiest botches I've ever seen in my entire life of watching wrestling.
It's up there.
I've never seen anything this bad before, and I've never seen anyone talk about this. but it's horrendous.
Yeah. Like, I mean, for, no one has talked about it because, like, we're probably, like, 3 of 10 people who've ever watched this match.
Fair enough. So what happens is, like, Big Daddy V, that's his costume, Big Daddy Tree.
Big Daddy Tree is a good costume. It's also dark.
So, Kane runs at him, and he's supposed to pick him up for a sidewalk slam, you know, like the kind of like a Rock Bottom, but with fat people.
Yeah, like what Boss Man used to do.
Yeah. But like, Kane runs at him. V tries to pick him up, and Kane just like steps to the side and stumbles or something.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre. And then they try it a second time, and they fuck it up again. Like, just, I don't understand how they could, like, fuck it up so bad and then fuck it up so bad a second time.
Yeah, it's horrendous. And it ruins the crowd, by the way, who was, like, not into the match, but, like, not into the match. And then as soon as that happens, the crowd just boos for the rest of
it's,
like, literally just boos the entire rest of
it. It's insanity. Like, I wish I had the power of GIFs, and I would put that up because that's something. What's next?
Big Daddy V just absolutely destroying Mark Henry with a corner splash.
And Kali, I wrote down.
And Kali. Yeah. But mostly Mark Henry, who isn't facing Big Daddy V, so he just absolutely gets a 9.
Yeah, he did some good speed on that corner crusher.
Yeah, he moved really fast.
Yeah.
By the way, there's like multiple times on commentary on this show, Joey Styles and Taz especially comment on how fast the wrestlers are. Like, they do it with Big Daddy V, who like is not particularly fast. They do it with John Morrison, who like was a little bit faster. They do it once more too, not for Tommy Dreamer. I forget what else, but like, but it is sort of like this bizarre thing where there must have been someone in their headset just being like, talk about how fast they are. Like,
but like, if you say Mark Henry, or sorry, if you say John Morrison and Big Daddy V are both fast, your judgment's like off. They're clearly not the same speed.
No. They are not. Big Daddy V is faster, obviously.
Clearly. He was
clearly.
Yeah.
By the way, John Morrison is on commentary for CM Punk's squash match. He has this great line where he's like, what even is a hardcore straight edge lifestyle? Does that just mean he doesn't hang out with chicks?
John Morrison, he was doing a John Morrison impersonation, right?
A Jim Morrison.
He just changed his first name.
Yeah. I mean, it's his actual first name.
Yeah. So that's bizarre.
Yeah. He's on Survivor now.
Mr. Morrison?
Yeah.
Oh. I always think of him as Johnny Nitro.
Right.
That's the name that sticks in my head.
It's a better name.
And yeah. Fucking Eminem was one of the best tag teams in WWE history.
Yeah, I mean, like, they never clicked with me the way that they have clearly clicked with other people. I think that they've got a top-heavy resume. I think there's some stuff that's really good. I don't like them week to week as much as some other people do.
Yeah,
I just think that, I think their week to week stuff benefits from the fact that television wrestling was just not nearly as good when they were on as it is now. You know,
I think the big thing was there was no true tag teams for a while.
Yeah.
And they came up and they like had a matching outfits, you know, that kind of stuff that just,
they had a manager.
They had a manager. Yeah. It just felt like a throwback. So yeah. They have that advantage and they were good in the ring too.
Yeah, they're fine.
Morrison
yeah.
and Miz were good too.
Yes. Yeah. I like that tag team.
You know, my favorite tag team of that like era that no one ever talks about there was two. There was Jericho and Miz Show.
Yeah.
Those two.
Both of which were great.
They were so good.
Yeah.
But no one ever even talks about them. But yeah. Oh, you know what? The Place to Be Nation. They're doing that greatest WWE tag team poll.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'll put Jericho and Mischo up there high for me.
I think Jericho was really, really good. I like that. Jericho was the first time in a long time that like a tag team, like an actual honest to goodness tag team, like main evented a lot of Raws and stuff, yeah, you know?
Yeah. Was Christian and Jericho doing that like 5 years before that type of thing? Was like the last time?
Yeah, probably, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
I, for whatever reason in my head, I don't associate them as being on top of the card as much.
I just remember they were like feuding with Austin, but I don't think Austin was wrestling. So yeah. Maybe they weren't at the top of the card. I don't even know.
Yeah.
Dan, where were we? Oh, you know why we're stalling? Because the next...
Because the match ends in like 30 seconds.
Well, and Big Daddy V's out next.
Yeah, and he gets eliminated. He gets eliminated by Kane.
Yeah. And then Kane punches Kali in the face with like a huge punch.
Yeah. Kane has one of the greatest worked punches of all time, but I think he just plasters Kali here.
I know. This does not look safe. And then Henry and Kane work together and they throw out Kali. So that's nice.
Yes.
Maybe they could add a doubles costume.
What's that?
Maybe they could add a doubles costume.
Kane and Mark Henry. Yeah. All right. Now, would Team Hell No have been better or worse with Mark Henry?
Way better.
Would Team Hell No have been better or worse with Mark Henry instead of Daniel Bryan?
I think you need the dynamic of the small guy and the big guy.
I really want to see Mark Henry and Kane hugging it out, though.
Yeah, they could have hugged.
Although, like, I feel like at some point, Mark Henry just would have killed Dr. Shawn.
Right? Oh, yeah, he would have given him a bear hug.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have been dead.
That's what this match was lacking, by the way. Like a 4-minute bear hug segment.
Yeah, I don't know if I missed that or not.
I mean, I didn't miss it. It didn't happen.
Yeah, you know? But like, I don't know if like it needed it. I don't know if it would have made it better.
I don't think a bear hug has ever made anything better. Has
it? Do you remember Daniel Bryan on commentary?
On Saturday Morning Slam or whatever.
When he's talking about the bear hug being the most devastating move in the history of wrestling.
And then he just kept making bear puns. Yeah.
Yeah. And then someone got a bear hug on once and he freaked the fuck out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Didn't he fight a bear like 3 times? Or was that some other animal?
I don't know.
He had like a series of matches against an animal. I think it was a bear. And like the bear beat him like twice. And he finally got his revenge at the end. I remember that. Yeah, go to YouTube, look up Daniel Bryan versus the bear. And I think there's a series of videos showing Daniel Bryan's struggle to defeat this bear who kept outwitting him. That's my recommendation. That's awesome. For the week.
That's good. I'll do that.
So Mark Henry does the really stupid battle royal thing, which I really, really hate, where someone's standing near the ropes and you run at them.
Yes.
And he gets a big boot. He doesn't go over the top on that, but like, it's so fucking stupid. Don't not run in the Royal Rumble or Battle Royal.
Yeah. You'd also like think that Kane would be smarter, you know, like maybe this is why Kane has eliminated a bunch of people, but has never won a Royal Rumble because he's just freaking dumb and like doesn't understand where he is in the ring and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. It's like Randy Savage, who never understood the rules of the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, you just jump over the top rope all the time. Like
it went for a pin in one of them, too.
Yeah, it did go for a pin.
There's one of my favorite jokes is one of the early Royal Rumbles, Savage was in a match, so he wasn't in the Royal Rumble. So he missed the rules. And ever since then, he just never got caught up on what the rules of the Royal Rumble were. Yeah, so that's good. Actually, the finish is really good here, though.
The finish is great, actually. Yeah. So Kane goes for his top rope clothesline that he used to do in every single match. But Mark Henry, who, and it can't be stated enough, just absolutely rules, just catches Kane. Just catches him like he's a feather and then just throws him over the top rope.
It was awesome. I was so happy that Mark Henry won too.
Oh yeah, I popped.
I did not expect that.
Yeah. I thought Kane would win for sure on Halloween.
I thought everyone except for Mark Henry would win.
Yeah. Also, can we talk about how I mean they talk about it on commentary repeatedly. Only one of the people in this match was actually on the ECW roster at the time. Yeah. And the other three were from SmackDown. Yeah,
they had a talent exchange going on.
Sure, of course they did. But, like, that's still hilarious.
I know, eh? Oh, boy. Why? Like, I guess they had no monsters on ECW.
Yeah, was Mike Knox still around? He kind of counted, right?
Sure.
What about Snitsky? Was Snitsky still around?
Oh.
He was on ECW.
Wasn't he? He was on Raw because he killed Kane's baby.
Was he still on Raw at that time?
I have no idea.
I thought
idea.
He was on he got drafted to ECW at some point. I remember. He got drafted to ECW the night of the Vince McMahon limo explosion, but I don't know if that was before or after this.
Oh.
Probably right around, probably after.
Okay.
Because this was after Benoit, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so Snitsky was on ECW at the time.
Boy, it's a name you don't hear.
Unless he got, like, released by now or something.
I don't know how long he was around. Looking up his Wikipedia page. Oh, yeah, Eugene Snitsky. It's been a while since we looked at someone.
Since we looked at Wikipedia during our podcast.
Yeah. Do you know his name?
No.
Eugene Allen Snitsky.
Yeah.
Just without a T.
I probably should have guessed.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah.
He was in the he played college football at Missouri.
Sure. And he's a big guy.
And was that on the preseason roster of the Birmingham Barracudas when the CFL went American for that one year?
Oh, were they in an American team in the CFL?
It was a year or two where the CFL expanded and added 8 teams in America. And they had an American.
They added 8 teams?
Well, there's only 8 teams in the CFL.
So they doubled their league in one year?
Yeah, and they were all American teams.
Okay. Did the quality go down drastically?
I think so, because it didn't last. Yeah. But one of the American teams moved to Montreal and became a Montreal team.
Oh. Is that the team that Johnny Manziel is on now?
I believe he is. I forget if he's on Toronto or Montreal.
Yeah.
But the Alouettes.
You like hockey more than the CFL?
Yeah. Quite a lot.
Yeah.
Let's see. What happened? So, did you do anything before developmental? Apparently, he went by Mean Gene Mondo in OVW, as a name inspired by Mean Gene Okerlund. And he was the fake brother of Mike Mondo.
Yeah.
He went to WXW. He went by Mean Gene Snitsky there. Then he went to developmental. He went to debut in Heat Mainstay, 2004 to 2006. 2007, he switched brands. He became, yeah, so it was 2007. On February 6, 2007, ECW.
Yeah.
This is a very uninteresting career. He was gone in the end of 2008.
So he was on ECW at the time.
Sure. He went to TNA.
Did he really?
Everyone went to TNA.
You know who was on this show who, like, just absolutely disappeared? I guess I remembered him, but, like, he's done nothing after this, is Elijah Burke.
He is, like, a mainstay in TNA.
Is he?
I think he's, like, their lead commentator. Like, he was for a while. But, like, he's been there forever. He might be gone now that there's new management and stuff. But, yeah, he was there for a long, long time.
I don't know.
He went by the Pope.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I did know.
But he looked like a guy with potential, eh?
Yeah. he cut a promo on this show that I just laughed out loud at. So he wrestles in the opening match against like the cowboy Jimmy Wang Yang,
yeah,
doing like the redneck gimmick.
Oh boy.
I wrote it down. I thought the line was so funny. Let me find it. Elijah Burke does his entrance. Jimmy Yang does his entrance. And then Elijah Burke in ring just picks up the microphone and says, "If there's one thing I hate, it's working class people like you." That's it. That's it. That's the, that was it.
Oh boy. How much did Vince McMahon love Jimmy Wang Wang's gimmick?
Oh yeah, he loved it. Well, I heard a shoot interview with Jimmy Yang one time. He was talking about how one of the times he had gotten released and was like, but you know, still had friends in the show, and so was hanging out backstage. And I guess he's around the same size as Shawn Michaels. And so Shawn Michaels was getting ready for some big match. He wanted to do like a moonsault into the announce table or something like that. And so they were trying to like block it out, but Shawn Michaels obviously wasn't going to moonsault into the announce table like four times to figure it out. So Jimmy Yang, who was just sort of backstage, was like, oh, like we're about the same size. Like, let me do it so you guys can like see how it works, you know?
Yeah.
And like he was there unemployed and then just did it. And Vince was watching him do it so they could film it, you know, like, or figure out how best to film it. And Vince was like, "Jimmy, why haven't we pushed you recently?" He's like, "Oh, because I don't have a job." So they like re-signed him because he did this.
Oh man. That company is
a mess.
You can say that. Yeah.
I mean, you've heard my like longstanding elevator pitch that they should do like as a network exclusive. They should do an office style sitcom about the HR department of the WWE. Just like having to constantly react to the shit that goes down on Raw every week.
Yeah. Oh my God. Imagine having to suck up to Vince again.
I mean, kayfabe, right? Yeah. Like just like another contract signing, like, you know, like that sort of thing.
Yeah. Oh boy. That company. But they bring us things like this great Monster Mash Battle Royal.
They do bring us that.
And the network, yeah, so we can watch it.
Yep.
We have two more weeks of our Spooktacular.
We do.
And next week we're looking at the episode of Nitro where a movie horror shows up.
Not RoboCop.
Sorry. My opposite name. Let's go back on that so it doesn't interfere with our game yet. Or our game, our podcast. Oh no. So yeah, fun fact, everyone. This is the first episode we've recorded since the NHL season started. So we're going to have to figure that.
Figure out when to time pick.
Yeah.
The morning podcasts.
Yeah. We'll see. Well, at least don't play every night. So
yeah,
there's that. All right. So we talked about next week. Why keep doing that? Let's end this podcast.
Fair enough.
Was baking cookies on Halloween day when a trick-or-treating monster came my way. There was a Google in his eye when he let out with a cry.
"Feed me cookie, please."
He did the nosh.
He did the cookie monster nosh. Cookie nosh.
Sprinkle and chocolate ganache.
He did the nosh.
Cookies decorated with panache.
He did the nosh.
He did the cookie monster nosh.
On everyone's cookies, he did feast. This cookie monster loves sharing, not in the least. Taking cookies by the box load, he even ate my cookie all in one.
He did the nosh.
He did the at Cookie Monster Nosh.
The Cookie Nosh.
Even try the cookie made of squash.
Me did the Nosh.
A pumpkin cookie with a mustache.
Me did the Nosh. Me did the Cookie Monster Nosh.
Cookie Monster saw his friends weren't having fun. He realized that others may want some. So he shared with Elmo and the fuzzy blue one.
Nom 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 nom.
Cookie Monster was sharing. There was a familiar sound. They had cookies and milk. Some weren't even around. More trick-or-treaters began to arrive, including Zoe and the number five.
We did the Nosh. We did the Cookie Monster Nosh.
The Cookie Nosh.
Snickerdoodles, shortbread, my God.
We did the Nosh.
Cookies disappeared in a flash.
We did the Nosh. We did the Cookie Monster Nosh.
Now everyone's full, sharing spread round the land. This Halloween, hold out your hand. Find a friend and give a treat or two, saying,
this cookie just for you.
Then you can nosh. Then you can Cookie Monster Nosh.
Then you can nosh.
Ha-ha, the Cookie Monster Nosh.
Then you can nosh.
Then you can Cookie Monster Nosh.
Then you can nosh.
Oh, look at them go!
Oh, Halloween cookies!
They love those cookies!
He did the Nosh!
He did the Cookie Monster Nosh!
The Cookie Nosh!
Sprinkle and chocolate ganache!
He did the Nosh!
Cookies decorated with panache!
He did the Nosh!
He did the Cookie Monster Nosh!
On everyone's cookies, he did feast!